Ask you to all get ready, get your minds open, and give our brother your attention and your prayers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Jay. And I do ask to pay attention to what I had to say today, to what God has put in my heart, for sure, and to pray for me, because I do need prayers, always. I'm glad I made it to be here with you guys. This day is kind of, we have a pretty busy week, for sure, and especially this weekend. Twice today, I almost got run over by people going in a hurry. When I was only trying to get Taco Bell for lunch, people are in a hurry. I'm like, okay, well, you guys know the reason is Super Bowl. They want to get ready for it, or they just impatient people, other than maybe I just start to driving slow. I always drive at speed limit, and but other than I'm official grandpa, I'm official grown up. The other day I was at Bashas. I told Rebecca I'm going to Bashers where I have a friend, and it was a Wednesday, and I was ringing my staff, you know, on those self checkouts, and my bill was like $50 or $60, something like that, because everything is $4.99. I'm like, man. Not $3.99, not $2.99, just all $4.99. Then I got stuck bringing something. I called for help, and the lady's like, that was my last item. She's like, how old are you? I'm like, well, I'm 56. Well, it's a senior. You can receive a senior special, senior discount. I'm like, okay, I mean, I'm 56. She tried it, and the bill went from this much to like $20. I'm like, I like that. Looks like getting up there is worth it too. I had a really good week. It's been busy, my work, and just one day off. I'm tired. But thanks to God, it gives me the strength to continue going. Haven't got sick yet. I feel a little bit of tickles in my throat, so I might cough here and there, but other than that, I haven't, I can see many people are sick. Rebecca was sick for 3 weeks almost. Gladly, I didn't get sick that bad, so it looks like somebody's watching over me. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to welcome to all of you. Thank you for being here and for the opportunity that I have to be in your presence. And I'd like to welcome those who are watching over the stream, live streaming. And I hope I won't take too much time of your time. I have maybe about 50 slides. I will try to go quick. 15. I get confused with 15. As you can see, the title of my sermon, Help, I'm Falling and I Can't Get Up. I mean, you guys have seen that commercial on TV, especially in the evening. We watch this channel, I think it's like live TV or something like that. And the commercials that come at night is all about, you know, seniors. And so, well, you know, a lot of the times we don't always need help from the Almighty God, but a lot of the times we need help from from regular people, from the brothers and sisters. We need help. I mean, God is always there, and He's ready to act on your requests, that's for sure. And so that's what is my sermon a little bit about tonight. So without taking any more time, I'm going to go to my first slide here. In times of need, and we all have those times. I mean, you never know when you're going to need that time. But that's one of the times that you need most of the help. And we, as you know, as humans, we run and we have those darkest times, worst times. And who do you cry out to? To God, right? At the same time, you know, I want to talk about a little bit about, needing the help from God when you fall, needing the help from your brothers and sisters when you fall, or also needing the help from the doctrine, from the gospel that we have when you fall. And when you fall, I'm not talking about not falling like this lady right here. I'm talking about falling away from the church, there's a lot of things that can cause that. Even now in these days, a lot of people are so sensitive. It's almost that you can't do anything or say anything because you don't know if you're going to offend them or not. The other day, I was walking around in my work, and then I saw this guy who was trying to read his notes for whatever he was doing that day. And that paper or that sheet was like right in his face. And I just walked by, and I said, hey, do you need help? And that bothered him. Well, you think I'm blind? Or I'm like, no, I just have a collection of reading glasses that people left behind, and I have a lot of glasses. You know, I didn't say that, and I'm glad I didn't, because I wouldn't make it worse. But these days, it's like people don't want to hear, even when they need help, they don't want to acknowledge that they didn't need. But what does that mean? It's like knowing that you need help, but you just don't ask for help because you don't want them to think that you need help. I would say that's a pride problem, and that's something that we need to let it go, and humble ourselves and say, you know, I'm in need of help. Can you help me? It's pretty simple, pretty simple. Malachi 7 and Micah 7:8, it says, therefore I will look unto the Lord, and I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. You see, you hear that? My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And a lot of the times, you know that it's true that, you know, a lot of, it sounds bad, but even in your family, your neighbor, friends, they don't like to see you succeed, either in work, in your business, and in your life. You know, they don't want to be happy for you, for what you just did, what you just complete, gain, those things. You would think that they will be happy for you, but they're not. They're not. So this is what this scripture is talking about. The people want to see you down. And why is that? I mean, like I said, right now, today, just right now, coming to church from work, I mean from home, this guy was just right behind me, honking on me and doing all kinds of signs. I was just going the speed limit. I'm like, and what did he do? He just went around me, through my left, and cut in front of me. That's the type of world that we live in right now. No respect. There's no respect. There's no manners. It's just like you have to watch your back no matter where you go. And so we just had to deal with that. We just gonna have to deal with that. But a lot of the times that, you know, the people get offended and they stop coming to church or things like that. It's because what they hear. You know, my brother Hugh used to say, "I'm sorry I step on your toes." Brother Jay just said right now, I hope one of these words is for you. But all these things that I'm saying, it applies to my life also. It applies to my life. See, I have heard in the past that you come, you know, to be fed. And it's true. It is true because you had a hard week at work. You're dealing with something, and when you come to church, you want to hear something that is going to help you. It's going to give you the strength that you need, that you're looking for, that you may know that God is aware of that problem that you are dealing with. But don't forget that there's always somebody out sitting next to you that you can ask help also. You know, God give us the strength to fight all these spiritual wars that we have, that we deal with every day. But when it comes to physical, you know, we are, or somebody is next to you just waiting for you to humble yourself and ask for that help. And so a lot of the times, you know, because they don't receive the message that they wanted to hear, slowly, they just walk away, and then you don't see them anymore. They just disappear. I pray to the Lord that those things, those feelings, don't go through my mind. We are fighting every day towards the enemy, and we hear those things in our mind and our heart. And we all know that these are actions that don't come from God, but from the enemy. And so that's when we have to get closer. When those things happen, we need to get closer and stay closer to the Lord, that He may help us. He might not help you right now, right there, and that minute, but you will receive a wonderful blessing from the Lord. A good example that we have from my next slide is about Brother Paul, Saul, who a man who was strong and who was powerful. He was a learner. He was a good thinker. He had wisdom on everything. But he was almost like blind. He didn't know what he was doing. He thought that he was doing the right thing, perhaps. And there is a scripture about that I'll be reading right now. But I'm going to go ahead and read, in Acts 1-5. And so, this is when he was, when our Lord and Savior Christ, Jesus Christ, approached him in a way that you don't even think about it, but it has to be done. It has to be done. This is right after Christ went back to heaven, to His Father, to His kingdom. So that tells me that He knows exactly what's going on even now, because He saw what was going on back then when Saul was persecuting Christians. And so, yet, breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell on the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord say, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Jesus identified himself there of who he was, of who perhaps, I'm pretty sure, Paul heard about him even when he was preaching his gospel. He knew who he was. And he is telling him, this scripture right here is so amazing. It's beautiful because it's telling him straight out, it's me, it's Jesus, who thou persecutest me. And what happened to Paul or Saul? He got struck with blindness. He was blind. He was blind. A person that is blind, that person is just at the mercy of who wants to stretch out their hand to him, to that person, because you don't see. You don't see. If you don't see, you don't know what you're doing, where you are, what's ahead in front of you. You're just at the mercy of whoever wants to help you. So he was down. He fell. He fell because he had a problem, and his problem was he did not want to understand what he was doing. Perhaps he was blind, or perhaps he didn't understand it. Even that he had all this education, all this understanding, their understanding, it didn't go that far. You know, it's amazing how Christ, during those 3 years that he was able to teach, which perhaps was not enough, no one understand his point, even his disciples who were with him, eat with him, sleep with him, didn't understand his point of view of salvation. So what makes so different? Perhaps he had the same understanding. So he was down, he fall. And sometimes people do things in their minds thinking that they are doing a good thing. And this was his fall. He thought he was doing a good thing for God, not for Christ, for God, because they didn't believe in Christ. They still don't believe, I believe. In Proverbs 19:3, it says, the foolishness of men perverted his way, and his heart fell against the Lord. And 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is what we need and what is right there. The word of God is to teach us, to get us out of that hole that we can't get out by ourselves other if Christ don't help us. We are stuck in the mud. We are blind. We don't know what's ahead of us is spiritual. I mean, right now I can see you, I can see everything, but can I see behind the veil? Can you imagine? That's should be another sermon about what's behind what's on the other side of the veil. That we're not able to see, or can we handle it? What's behind the veil? In John 16, verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever kill you will think that he is doing a good service. And this is what I'm talking about, our brother. So perhaps he had the understanding that he was doing the right thing by persecuting someone who was not even deserving, just because their beliefs. Because their beliefs were persecuted. Perhaps our belief in Christ, we irritate people also even now. Even now. And you're going to be judged, for sure. You're going to be judged. Our Christ Lord told us, if you want to drink of the cup that I will drink, you people, the world, is going to hate you, because they hate me first. They hate my prophets. They kill them. Are you ready for this? Are you going to deal with all that stuff? But our payment, our reward is nothing from this world. Our reward is in heaven. Who knows what our reward will be? So, by the best of our ability in this body, we're going to do our best that we can. We're going to continue on what we believe. Even if we're down, even if we are full, and when we can get up, we're gonna stay and be strong in our faith and what we have learned. Even when you're down, we're not gonna give up that easy. I continue on 6-9, and he trembled and astonished, say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing voices, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. He was blind already. He can't see anybody. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sign, neither there eat nor drink. He was down completely, spiritual, physical. Perhaps he just wanted to die. I don't know what will be going through his mind. Perhaps he will feel the biggest guilt ever that he, that no one has experienced. Have you experienced fear? What is fear? I mean, I don't even know how to explain fear, but when you go through something, when you do something and you know it's gonna affect you in your life, like it's gonna make a big difference in your life for no good, and you just fear the worst, how your heart goes as fast as it can, and it, you just don't feel good, you feel like you're gonna pass out. What is fear? Fear is something that is not coming from God. Fear is something that's come from the enemy. It's a miserable feeling. Saul was a man of power. He had a brain, he was educated, he knew his scriptures, but he was full of whatever angry spirits he had in him. He was angry. For whatever reason, I don't know. Like I said, people might hate you for your beliefs. So this big, strong man, lion who he was down. I heard and I read something in the online about when the zookeepers, they're trying to help an animal that is in pain, that is maybe suffering for whatever, a broken leg or something, especially when they get caught on a tramp. and you're trying to help them. They're in pain, they're in need, but they're not going to let you touch them. They're going to put up a fight. They're not going to let you touch them. Perhaps even until they find out that all you're trying to do is to help. You have to humble yourself. Same thing happened with Paul. This powerful man who he was, he got to humble himself and let him take the help. So what it says next in the same chapter, 17 to 18, says in Ananias, so Christ said, told him what's going to happen. And that is just, I can't skip it. But this is Ananias, who is a disciple of Christ, who is a human being who came to his help, to help him. Christ told him what was going to happen. But Ananias came to his rescue. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him, saying, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, the one that appeared unto you on the way as thou comest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as had been scales, and he received the sight. He received sight forthwith, and arose, and he was baptized. He took a few steps right there. A really good example that we should look for to him as a good example. He was a different person. He was transformed right there. He let Christ work in his heart. Christ had to humble him to the ground to make him understand the things that he was doing. And then he called Ananias, a human being, to come and help him and make him understand the wrong things that he was doing. We need help from our brothers and sisters also, especially when we don't have the understanding of our problem. We suffer too a lot as human beings, but not always the help comes from God, but from your neighbor, from your friend, from your brother, from your sister. A lot of times people ask, where is your friend? Where is your wife? Where is your brother? Why is not here? Well, they're sick. They need prayers. Okay. But when you are going through something, you don't ask for prayers to us. And that is something that I have noticed, that we need to understand that we are here to help each other. I pray for you and you pray for me. That's how it is. We all children of God. And for our understanding, we are his children. We are his friends. So we are related through the blood of Christ. We are related. We are his friends, his children. We are brothers and sisters through the blood of Christ. Brother Saul was blind, but Jesus opened his eyes. He was dead in sin for all the things that he was doing, but now he was full of the Holy Ghost. And how he received the Holy Ghost, that special gift, at the end it says that he was baptized, which is there's a lot of understanding of that these days. There's a different doctrine, and they don't believe they need to be baptized. To me, by being baptized, it's like what it says in the scriptures. It's like Christ and his bride. You know, when somebody get married, what do? You put a ring and both the fingers. And a lot of people don't believe that we should not be doing that either. But by putting a ring, it's a promise that you make to your spouse, it's a promise that you make to your husband, that for that you be together for eternity. There's no split in the ring. It's a one circle. That you be together forever, no matter what. That's the promise. When you get baptized, you're making a promise to God that you're going to be his disciple. You're not going to split. That is the knot that you tie with him when you accept him in your heart and you baptize in his name. And then you receive the Holy Ghost by the laying of hands. That is the true doctrine that we follow in this little church. That is the true doctrine. That's what it touched my heart when I came into this church. I didn't see any difference. I take it back. I saw a lot of difference. But this is the true difference that I saw for what I used to know. That is just the whole point. In Matthew 18, 10 to 14, it says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven the angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them gone astray, do he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he finds it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Even so is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones shall be perished." It's talking to you. It's talking to me. You know, I sometimes do have the desire to just get the phone book that we have and just make some calls to those who I have not seen in church. It's don't know for sure if that's my spot, my point, my interesting, my thing that I should do. But we have a few that went straight, and we haven't seen that. You know, our work really is to seek those. But a lot of the times, it's more than what's outside of these four walls that we have to be aware and be careful. You know, we come to church and we hear the word of God, and our souls, our souls is full. We feel secure, but then we step outside and we have to deal with so many things. You know, God is telling us to love people, but sometimes I've just had the feeling I don't love them that much. I deal with so much with co-workers and with just people, and so I guess that's the hospitality business that I am with. But I think about that. I think about that, and so I pray and I say, "Lord, forgive me, and I will try to do my best to treat everybody as you treat me, as I want to be treated." And so I have to remember these words that we have here and we have read in the scriptures of God. That's what it makes us difference. That's how we get changed. When you accept Christ, you are a whole new person, a whole new creature. You're not the same. You're not the same old man that used to be. You are a new creation. That's what who we are. You're not supposed to be act as you used to act before. You're not supposed to talk using the same vocabulary that you used to use before. And did you know it was so hard for me to leave the vocabulary? Because everything, it began with the bad word. And it was really hard for me to change that. But with the help of God, we are transformed. Because it's what it says, that through Christ I can do anything. And how much true is that? It's all that. But I remember, and when we used to have little kids coming to the stage and sing "Don't Step There," we have to aware our kids. Even now, like all these little ones that I see all over the church, there is some things up there that you should not step there. You should not mess with it, you know. Like I said, as a teenager, as a kid, having friends, you're going to deal with all that and even more, because you're going to try to fit in. You're going to want to be the cool kid, not the nerd kid. So you're in a high pressure when you hanging out with the wrong crowd. Sometimes maybe it's even better just to have no friends, but that's not gonna happen. I guess our life is full of choice. You make your own choice, and your choice will change your whole life, whatever choice you make. Just remember that, you know, whatever choice you make in life, God is always right there for you, and He will support you. He will be right there just to help you. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. We have to wake up. We have to be awake of all the things that are going on around. We are living, truly living in last days. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but the signs are all over us, all around us. But I said it once, I said it again, our focus is not to what event is coming. We don't looking for any event. We don't need any events. We're looking for Jesus Christ coming. So forget about the events that the world has talked about, it, that they're coming. This morning, I was in a quick trip. I was tripping this robot who was cleaning the floor. He was talking to me. "Can you please move? I'm cleaning the floor." I'm like, okay. This is the days that we live in. I mean, there's preachers, there are robots now. People go to big churches and hear the word of God coming through a robot preacher. We're living in days that, like, you didn't thought that you would make it to see it, but we are seeing it. Now you don't know what's true and what's not true because the AI. And that's another thing that you have to be so careful. Look not for any event. We have to look and focus on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come, and Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:7, so that ye come behind and no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man coming into the Father but by me. In Matthew 4:19, and he saying to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow Christ. We are looking for him. We're not looking for any hocus pocus event that is going to throw you out, like the Y2K, if you remember, in 2000, that they were supposed to end, and then the people were going crazy and giving money to everyone for free, and giving, doing this and doing all that, otherwise killing themselves. We don't know when it's going to be the time that Christ is coming. We just had to, our eyes had to be towards him. Forget what's going on around you. Just like those horses when they're working in the field, what they put us in the eyes, well, I don't know what they call them, but so they can go stray. They don't care what's going on around them. They just go stray. Our path is stray and narrow. But if we are focused on Jesus Christ, forget the obstacles. You have to deal with them. But with Christ, you can do anything. 1 John 2, hereby know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ comes in the flesh, was not in the spirit. He will come in flesh and bones. You know, when he appeared to the disciples and he showed them his hand, the pierced of the nails, that is the one way they, Thomas, who was the doubter, believed. He was doubting that the disciples there saw Christ, but Christ appeared to him, to them, and he showed him the nails and his the prints of the nails in his hands and the one on his side. You believe because you're watching me, you're seeing me, you're touching me. But blessed are those who see me now and believe. So whoever thinks that Christ was just a prophet, a good person, a good leader, a good whatever, those are the antichrists. We have to be careful. You can put up a fight with them, but you're not going to win. You know, I do give a credit to those who knock on your door and they're trying to preach the gospel to you. I do give them a credit because they go to your door. But they're not preaching the true gospel. They're just trying to bring you down. You know the truth. You know the truth. And they don't. There's two major churches. There's two of them. They're like huge, but just that they just don't believe that Christ is God. They don't believe in the Holy Trinity. They don't believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So why wasting your time? You're not going to convert them either. So why would you, you know what, just have a good day. And this lady, I was running to get in this Mexican a store, and she stopped me, and I know who they were. She stopped me. Hey, do you want to hear about Christ? I'm like, you're not teaching the right Christ. Oh yes, we do. And I just keep walking. They don't teach the right Christ. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. Why would I stop there and put up a fight and trying to convert them? Because they're not going to convert me either. By your fruits, they will know. By your fruits. So don't step there. That reminds me to my little guys who they were here singing that song every weekend. And now I can say that I don't see many of them here. Look for the last ones. They have walked away. Look for that one instead of the 99. Look for the ones that need to be healed, not the ones that are whole already. But our life is, you have a choice to make. You know, by the coming of Christ, he gives us a choice. He gives us the freedom to choose. You know, that's Joshua, famous scripture there is in the book of Joshua, you know, today, who you gonna follow? It's a choice you had to make in your life, but that choice you might not see it right now, but it will affect you in the future. It will affect you in the oncoming life because we are not here forever. We are not here forever, and time. It goes fast. And 2 Nephi 1:14, 1:18? I think it's 1:18. I messed up a number there. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who know all things. Adam fell, that the men may be, and men are, that they might have joy. And the Messiah came in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be act upon it. Saved be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God had given. We are free. Christ redeemed us. He paid for our sins. So he gave us the opportunity to choose him or choose evil. Basically, that's what it is. You choose. And don't wait until you get old. Don't wait until you... right now is the time. You have to work your salvation. Because... time is there's no time. So we are free to make our own mind's decisions, choosing for ourselves. I would recommend that you choose Christ and not the things of the world. Don't step there. Stay away from problems. I trying to learn myself to ignore those things, to ignore those who trying to provoke me. I trying to be calm and patient and just to walk away instead of stand up for myself, because things will get worse. And I don't need it. I don't need those problems. You know what Christ says? Somebody slap you in the cheek, give them your other cheek. It's very hard to accept that, especially. But that's something that you don't have to really accept a physical smack on your face, but just walk away from whatever problem you think you went to it. And if it's still in time, walk away. Don't get deeper. It's like digging a pit for yourself. From 119 to 121, in the same chapter, wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men, and they are free to choose liberty. Do you see that? Hold on. liberty or eternal life through the great mediator of all men, which is, you know, as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil, for he is sick, that all men may be miserable like unto him. He's always throwing darts to you. He's always messing with you. He's always messing with your life. That's why I said, don't step there. That song is just came in my mind. And it has so much to do. Our brother Jay talked this morning about tramps, right? Is that how you say it? It's as those birds stand up in the tree, just waiting to see a little movement of a bird, rabbit, or whatever. Those rabbits or those little animals, they don't know who's watching them up there, and they're gonna be they're getting into a trap without being noticed. Living in the world is the same thing. We're walking to areas where we should not be. But you know what? The cool thing about it is that you feel the feeling, which is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Don't go there. And I think I said it once again, that one time I was 17, I was a troublemaker, and I got this, I don't know if you guys heard about the SWAT meet, over downtown Phoenix. They call it the Perros. And I got a fake license, and I wanted to go into a bar. And I tried it. And I made it the first door, but the second door I got kicked out because they didn't believe me. So I didn't make it to the bar, and I'm glad I didn't. But you walk into those things without knowing what the consequence will be. That could have ruined my future if I would have gone in there and get myself in trouble. That's the only time that I remember that I was looking for problems myself. But God is always right there covering you. You know, he's taking all those darts, all those infirmities, all those things for you. He took sin. He paid for you. He died in the Christ for you, and the cross for you. He bled and died, and he was smacked in the face. They put a crown of thorns in his head for you. He did it for you because he loves you. He loves us. If I read the rest of this chapter, and now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken to his great commandments and be faithful into his words and choose eternal life. Don't choose the wrong, choose eternal life, I'm telling you, choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the devil which is therein, which give the spirit of devil power to captivity, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you and his kingdom. You're not going to give him that opportunity to do that, because we know the things that is not a good choice for you. We know sin. And if you do sin, if you do fall, God is rich in mercy and love, that he is just waiting for you to confess your sin to him. And he will forgive you. He will forgive you. He will forgive the biggest sin that you have committed if you repent. If you come to him, he will forgive you. My last scripture, in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that is shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Don't step there. Remember, when we are being attacked, and you know you're being attacked, God is protecting you of any harm. He is right there. So when you get those feelings, all you got to do is just call upon His name. Call upon His name and He will hear you. I love you, Lord. This is my comments for today. I hope you guys got something out of it. And I thank you for listening to me for this hour. And I thank my God for giving me the opportunity that I may continue to stand here for you guys. Love you all.